Well, thanks for coming back. I always feel like I like baseball, and a hitter's only as good as his last hit. So when you get a break after hearing me once, sometimes people go and say, see you later. So when you come back, I really appreciate it. You should hopefully have that handout that I have in the back. Do we, Alice? Okay. No, this one. It's at the top, and then there's that's it, the blue one. That's this. You could keep that, and that's the chronology that we're looking at. Well, when we talk about the tribulation period, the tribulation is a period of time, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time, and you have to be careful here, I do, because God didn't choose the Jewish people so they can have tribulation. That wasn't the purpose of his choosing Israel. Actually, God chose the Jewish people to be a light to the nations. That was the purpose. But in his choosing corporately, individually, we showed the world, well, you know what? We want to do our own thing. And so God, in his program, needs to bring them to the point where they will receive their Messiah in the millennial kingdom, which we'll talk about in the next session. But you need to know, it says in Zechariah, 10 Gentiles are going to grab the clothing of a Jewish person and want to celebrate tabernacles in Jerusalem. Why? Because they would they'd be fulfilling their purpose in bringing a light and being a light to the Gentiles. By the way, in Israel now, one of the things that is happening, and we're talking about as a nation, Israel's it's not by any means a God-fearing nation in that sense. Most people in Israel are secular. But do you know what they're driven by? It's really interesting. They're driven by that passage, the idea of being a light to the Gentiles. So their technology and their ways of helping people is being driven by a biblical passage, a biblical idea of being a light to the nations. So you'll find that when there's a catastrophe in another country, some sort of difficulty, Israel's one of the first countries there to help. Even when the people of that country are inherent enemies to the Jewish people, they want to help people. And they're driven by being a light to the Gentiles. So what's the tribulation? It's God preparing Israel to resume his redemptive work through her. He's got to change their heart, and he's going to change their heart, and ultimately the Messiah will come. Now, critical, Daniel chapter 9. Now, if you look, there's six things that God says to Israel. 70 weeks are determined, and notice, in Daniel, is the church in Daniel? Anybody? Hopefully you heard me the first. Is the church in Daniel? No, there is no church. Daniel, there's no church. You need to know that. We're reading the Older Testament. There is no church. 70 weeks are given to the Jewish people. Okay? They're given to the Jewish people. And what's the purpose of these 70 weeks? There's six things. To finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Guess what? These three were finished by Christ. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, those three things, he came. Now, everlasting righteousness, not so much. Vision and prophecy, not so much. Anoint the Most Holy, not so much. Those things have yet to happen. And so God is going to accomplish his purpose through the 77s of Daniel. Now, after 69 sevens, Messiah will be killed. There is all kinds of scholars way before me who've computed mathematically from the time of the decree in 445 BC to the time of the when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, that fulfilled the exact amount of time. But there's this 70th week, and that's the key. Where's the 70th week? How do we understand it? Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is Jesus' own description of that 70th week. We're gonna look at it. And Revelation chapter 6 through 19 is also, that's actually a commentary. And by the way, it's a commentary by Jesus of Jesus' words in Matthew 24 and 25. Think about that. When Jesus was on the earth teaching his disciples, he talked to them about this period of time. When you go to the Revelation, many people say, oh, it's the revelation of John. No, it's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of? Okay, so Jesus' revelation from chapter 6 through 19 is a commentary on Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. He's giving more revelation of what he gave originally when he was on the earth. And so this 70th week is divided into two periods of time. And I'm taking two messages and putting, that's why you should have two, right, Alice? You gave them two? Good. You have two. So I'm going to condense them vocally, but you'll hopefully have, that's more in depth than the first outline, you'll have more information that you can check out yourself for both messages. Okay, the Great Tribulation and the Tribulation, we use those words interchangeably. It is true that Jesus called the latter half the Great Tribulation. But I'd submit to you that the whole period is the Tribulation. This is debatable because we know there's pre-trib. That's what I am. That's what many of the elders here is, or all of them here, pre-trib. But not every believer holds that. There's people who are mid-trib. There's people who are pre-wrath. There's people who are post-trib. All of which, would say that the church and Israel are going to be mixed together. It's only the pre-trib that says the church is out of here when the 70th week takes place. And that's significant. How do we know that the whole period is? Revelation chapter 6. Actually, Revelation chapter 5. Let me review 5 for you so you know. Remember the heavenly scene. And you remember John's weeping. He's crying. Why? He's crying because there's a document that's sealed. It has seven seals. And he's looking for someone who's qualified to break the seals. And he can't find anybody. And he's emotional about it. I want these seals broken. And then he looks at a standing lamb that looks as though it has been slain, the only one qualified. So who's breaking the seals? Well, he sees someone, a standing lamb. A lamb. He's the only one qualified. And when he breaks each seal, stuff happens. What kind of stuff? Well, remember the birth pangs of the Messiah? It starts off actually peaceful. A covenant is signed between a person who's going to rise up from the revived Roman Empire. How do we know that? From Daniel chapter 9. The same people whose leader took out Christ are going to be the same people group where this person's going to emerge and sign a covenant with Israel. That's significant. It's amazing. Most of my adult life, Israel has been trying to make peace. And most of my adult life, there have been American presidents primarily who've been the vehicle to try to bring peace. I'll tell you, to me, humorous, my wife is much smarter than I am. And the only smart thing I did was marry her. And that was a smart move. And I remember when Yasser Arafat and Bill Clinton, they were on the, Yitzhak Rabin, 1993, they're signing agreement. That's an agreement. And Israel's all for it. They're going to give land for peace and all that. And I remember saying, oh, Ellis, this is bad. People are believing this. This is bad. And I got to think of a way to communicate because everybody's so hopeful and this is bad. And she said, hey, would you buy a used, pointing to Yasser Arafat, she said, would you buy a used car from that man? By the way, that summarized it for, that's brilliant. There were people willing to invest millions of dollars and even put lives in jeopardy in the hands of a person that if they were, if he said, oh yeah, this is a little lady, drove it on weekends 10,000 miles and he'd smile at you. Would you give him money for it? I couldn't find anybody who said, oh yeah, I trust him. Yet they did. And by the way, the same thing's going to happen for this ruler who's going to come. When's it going to happen? It's going to happen after the rapture. But doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. There is a period of time. Don't ask me how long because I don't know. The actual period starts with the signing of a covenant. Now, if the rapture were to take place today, so that if it would, that's the best way to describe at least this period. In North America, there would be almost total anarchy. Well, why would I say that? I say that because we have Christians in key places. Banking, politics, entertainment, doctors, lawyers. There are many believers in all walks of life, and when they're gone in the United States and Canada particularly, certainly in other places, it's going to create significant issues that will bring the atmosphere for a person who will rise in the midst of that anarchy and bring order. There'll be other places, by the way. The rapture will be a blip on the screen. Look, I believe God has his church everywhere, but it's in bigger numbers and bigger proportions in different areas of the world. Thank God, that's why we're to send people. The church is supposed to send people to all people to communicate the truth. People have said to us, wait, you don't care about the Palestinian people. Well, why would you say that we don't care about the Palestinian people? Well, you're the friends of Israel. That's right. We are the friends of Israel. That means that the people who started our organization, by the way, 10 years before there was an Israel. Do you understand the significance of prophecy? 10 years before there was an Israel, there were businessmen. And tomorrow, I'm actually going to be talking, the title of the message here at Westwood is going to be The Blessing. Israel, Blessing Israel is the title. And I'm going to show you a little bit of the history. And the reason I am is because there's biblical reason to do that. But before there was an Israel, these Christians said, wait a minute, there are people, Jewish people leaving Germany in the midst of this crazy man who many thought was an antichrist. And they're coming here and we need to help them. And so they called themselves not the Friends of Palestinians, although that's what they were called. By the way, Jewish people were called Palestinians when Great Britain had it. They were called Palestinians when Ottoman Turks had it. They were Jewish or Gentile, they were Palestinians. But they didn't say the Friends of the Palestinians. They believed the future for the Jewish people was Israel. They didn't know when. As it turned out, it was 10 years later. That's significant. And so the rapture will take place. There'll be a period of time. And then this person will arise and he'll make a covenant of peace. And the prince of the people who destroyed the temple, who destroyed the temple? What power was in power? Rome. Therefore, I believe those same people, this person's going to come out of a revived Roman Empire. The iron and clay toes is going to rise up in the future. The Antichrist, and I said, if you want to know more, we devoted a whole issue. That is we, Friends of Israel, in that magazine. There's a promise of peace. And Israel will finally believe that there's peace. I can tell you in Israel, traveling there, I've had the privilege of going there several times. Look, The one thing Israel has demonstrated, there's a lot of shtick that goes on in Israel. There's a lot of shtick that goes on in America. That's a Yiddish word. Issues, if you will. I can tell you, they don't like their 18-year-old sons and daughters having to be inscripted in the army, mandatory. 3 years. See things that you and I just don't want to deal with. And they all have to do it. They long for peace. They're willing to give land away. And I can go on and on about peace and who wants it and all that. Suffice it to say, they're looking forward to that time. And when this happens, they will think, finally, somebody's guaranteeing us peace. We can stop spending all this money on defense and use it for good. Well, amazing. That's an amazing thing. When that happens, by the way, we believe that the temple is going to be reinstituted. It's going to be built. Does that seem far-fetched? How many have been to Israel? Okay, keep your hands up and only put them down if you have not been to the Temple Institute. Okay, your hands stay up. So you know, you go to the Temple Institute and what do you see? All the things ready for the temple. Do you know they're ready? There's only one thing standing in the way of the rebuilding of the temple. Only one thing. There's a Dome of the Rock there. It would create World War III. But believe me, you ask them, these aren't Christian people. These are observant Jewish people. And you say, when is this going to happen? And how is it going to happen? They'll say, I don't know. We're just told to be ready. Now, you know, I got to admire that. Don't you admire? They're ready. They have the lampstand, the menorah. It's worth millions of dollars. It's gold. They have the showbread, table of showbread. They got it all ready, the priestly garments, everything. So they're going to rebuild the temple. Who'll be affected? Well, this period of time, Israel's going to be affected. Big time they're going to be affected because this is going to be a bad period of time. But let's look. The rebuilding of the temple happens. Sacrifices happen. Most Jewish people today would align themselves more with pita than with sacrifices. I'm telling you the truth. But I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. There'll be sacrifices again. God's going to raise up 144,000 Jews. Now, if you've ever talked to a Jehovah's Witness, the doctrine within Jehovah's Witnesses is they are the 144,000. Look, I'm not an apologist for Jehovah's Witnesses, but the question I often ask is, how many Jehovah's Witnesses are there? A lot of them. Are you part of the 144,000? What happens to the rest? Anyone I've talked to said, I don't know. Well, by the way, why do I say they're Jewish? Because I'm Jewish and I say, oh, we want the spotlight? No, it says so in Revelation. They know which tribe they're from. God chooses them. They're chosen to preach the good news. And in that context, it's the kingdom. Think about that. Yes, in order to be saved, you're going to have to receive Christ. You're going to have to believe in the coming one. But they're actually preaching the same thing that John the Baptist would. Prepare for the Messiah. Prepare for the kingdom. Because 7 years from that period, the king's coming. And the kingdom is going to be coming with him. Two witnesses. Who are they? We read your commentaries. They all know who it is. I could give you a subjective answer, speculative answer. I don't know. I could tell. It's Moses, it's Enoch, it's Elijah. And I can back up why I might think that. But Jesus didn't, in the book of Revelation, he didn't say. So, I don't know. But I do know they're going to be Jewish. And I know they'll be preaching a Jewish message because it's a Jewish period of time. And there's stuff that's going to happen. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many of us know those passages. And the number one question, again, I'll have to say I don't know, but the number one question, when is it? We know who's in it. It's a regional battle. It involves countries like Iran and Turkey, modern Turkey, all centered around Israel. And they're going to come down to take a spoil from Israel. And it's regional. I believe it'll probably be in the early part of the tribulation. Some Christians believe it's going to take place before the rapture. I personally don't think so. Some people say in the midpoint. Jewish people. I remember going with my son to a Hasidic Bible study, open to the public. And so my son went with me, and they studied Ezekiel 38 and 39. I was pretty happy about that. My son was going to Bible college at the time, and he was happy. And we listened. They regard that battle as the Battle of Armageddon, what we would call the Battle of Armageddon. It is the last war, they called it. And they believed that they were going to come down on Israel and God's going to save the day. And that's the text. However, I don't believe it's our Armageddon. Our Armageddon is described in Revelation 16 as a worldwide battle, series of battles, where Ezekiel 38 and 39 is regional. It just takes place in and around Israel. But that's going to be who's affected. The Antichrist rises to power. He puts down three kingdoms and rises to the top. He is going to speak words against God. He's going to persecute believers. It's a period of time that not much different regionally where some Christians who identify with Christ are immediately dealt with. But it's going to be worldwide. He's the counterfeit Christ, and he's got several names. And again, because you can read about him in the magazine, just these are some of the descriptions. You have them in your notes. These are the descriptions of the lawless one, of the willful king, of the little horn. And by the way, we call him the Antichrist, we being the church. 1 John says so. But in the context, do you think the people are going to, that's the Antichrist? No. It's not going to be that way. The best way I can describe, and I don't want you to take me out of context, but I'm old enough to remember when Bill Clinton was elected or when President Obama was elected. There was an excitement in our country for both of those that I remember particularly that somehow everything's going to be great. Once this person is president, everything's going to be great. And now there's a tendency, believe it or not, the current president we have, that there are people who are conservative who say, now things are great. It isn't great. No, don't put all that you hopes you have in a president of our country. I think you're going to be sorely disappointed, regardless of which party you're for. But he's called the Antichrist because he is, from a Christian point of view, the direct opposite of what Jesus Christ is. It's an unprecedented time on the earth. It is, I'm often asked, and here's a good time to talk about, I'm often asked about why is there so much anti-Semitism? Why is it that a virtually insignificant people, look, there are 7.5 billion people, 14 million Jewish people in the whole world. And do you know, aside from Washington, D.C., where most news agencies are, in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, that's where they are. Why? Because everything happens there. This insignificant numerical people are in the news all the time. How could that be? A country that's New Jersey. I lived in New Jersey. You could drive from the top of New Jersey to the bottom twice in a day and still the sun would be up. You could do the same thing in Israel. It's a nothing place geographically. What is the big deal? Let me tell you what the big deal is. There's something we can't see. Whatever God loves, whatever it is, Satan hates. That ought to concern you. Because God loves the church. That means Satan hates the church. But Satan has more vested in terms of his future, even though he knows he's in trouble. He has worked from the time of the first promise in Genesis chapter 3 to thwart the program of God. If you understand that starting in Genesis, you'll understand all the rest. So in Genesis 3, the promise of the seed of the woman. Get to Genesis 6, and you'll see the attempt to pervert the man so that there will not be a redeemer. Genesis 6. You see, the wickedness of man was so great, God just spared one family, Noah. Then the selection of a family. And on through the text, you can see God's program to bring the Messiah, including when Jesus came. Remember the temptation? The temptation. What was Satan trying to do? He had the authority to give the kingdom back to man. Remember, he was the rightful prince of this world because man failed. And so he says to Jesus, look, just bow down now. And you're it. Jesus said, no, what? He's not doing it. And he didn't use any deity to stop it. He used the word of God. I would submit to you that Satan was trying to prevent Christ from going to the cross. And the Bible says he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. And he suffered and died. Okay, so he couldn't prevent him from going to the cross. What's the next stage as it relates to Israel and the Messiah? His return. So what does he try to do? If I can prevent him from coming back, then I've won. So where's Jesus supposed to come back to? Anybody? Help me. The Mount of Olives. That's right. Where is the Mount of Olives? In Israel. So if there, and who's the people who's supposed to be in Israel? The Jews. So if we can eliminate the land and the people, or the people and the land, then Jesus can't come back to his own people. There is your answer to this craziness that these small amount of people who occupy a very small slice of the world who really just want to be left alone. That's really, I'll give you land, leave me alone. They're not left alone. It's almost inexplicable that they've had enemy, including the church. Do you know that the church, has been an enemy to Israel? An enemy. Why? Because the church held, and some still do, to this position, you know, Jesus came, you rejected him, you're finished. You're finished. We're the new Israel. I personally believe, and again, I don't want to get in trouble, the theology of replacement theology, and by the way, the charts on the back, you can take it, is an anti-Semitic theology. That doesn't mean that if you hold it, I know wonderful believers who hold to it. They don't agree with me, but they don't hate Jewish people. They would say we love people. We want them to believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus. They don't believe that they have a future. But the theology itself, look, I always tell people I'm schizo. I'm a schizoid person. Because I stand in front of you as a Jewish person and I say, I wish Martin Luther was never born. Martin Luther, wait, he's critical to the church. And I'm telling you as a Jewish person, I wish he was never born. Why? Because he cursed the Jews. He said, burn their synagogues, take their prayer books and burn them. They shouldn't be allowed out on Easter and Christmas. I'm not kidding. They have horns on their head. He said all kinds of stuff. And you know who adopted him? Adolf Hitler. And yet I stand before you as a Bible-believing Christian, and I thank God for Martin Luther. Now, how could I be both? Because in God's providence and sovereignty, one person, flawed, who had issues. He had issues. But he stood before the organized church and said, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And I thank God for the Reformation last year, 500 years. I thank God for that. But we have to understand that theology is a theology that could be used even by Satan himself and has through the professing church. When I was going to Sunday school, I went to Sunday school growing up. Sunday school, I went at my synagogue from, you think Sunday school is long? I had to go from 8:30 till noon, 12 o'clock. We have people who got 40 minutes. How long? I can't sit. I 3.5 hours. Nothing you can say to me will give me sympathy to too many meetings. It's just not going to happen. Well, we opened up textbooks that looked at Christianity and look at the attacks that we've had. Oh, do you remember the Inquisition? The Red Cross thing. The Crusades. Thank you. The Crusades. I think of the Red Cross in the United States. They give blood to help people. In the Crusades, they were taking blood, killing people. The Crusades put fear into the Jewish people. The cross of Christ was something I was afraid of. You told me you were a Christian, I was nervous. And so are Jewish people today. They're nervous. Well, look, each of these seals, we already said, who breaks the seals? Jesus breaks the seals. Therefore, if Jesus breaks the seals, the wrath to come, the wrath that comes, comes from Jesus, God. You're right. That's significant. You need to know that. He is the only one qualified to break the seals. He unleashes each of these things. God's wrath poured out on the earth. Why? Well, first to bring Israel to repentance, and then to judge the nations on the earth. Do you realize God's going to judge the nations? Oh, man. When politics. I told you I'm not getting into it. But every country, their citizens have issues with their rulers. Some of what their rulers do is good, and they don't know it is good. But some of it, the people get ripped off. They do. Is God going to take care of that? Oh, he's going to take care. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So look, all that's going to be sorted out. God's going to deal with it. But it's part of God's program to bring about his kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. He alone is going to demonstrate that he is the only true God, not of the whole universe, of everything. And right now, no one's doing that. Now, I have a few more minutes. Just hold for the transition here, and I'll put up the next one that I have. Here we are. But you should have notes already for this, and so we'll go fast. Second half of the tribulation. First half, birth pangs. And so you read in Matthew 24, wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. All these things happen at the beginning of the 70th week, okay? So the Olivet Discourse talks about that, but then there's the abomination of desolation in verse 15 of Matthew 25. What is the abomination of desolation? The abomination of desolation, if you understand anything about Hanukkah, and I have to be careful when I say Hanukkah because I could spit on you, Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah is the time when Antiochus Epiphanes wanted all the Jews to assimilate, all of them. So he desecrated the temple. He tried to make Jewish families eat pork. Look, in the culture today amongst many Jewish people, if you said free pork, they'd be the first in line. But at the time, before the first century, 165, the Jewish people, as a people, were religious, and the idea of eating pork with the temple there, terrible. Well, he desecrated the temple, and a family arose that said, we're not going to do this. Mattathias Maccabee and Judah Maccabee, his oldest son, and they fought back. They rededicated the temple. The abomination back then was Antiochus setting an idol there. That's a precursor to Matthew chapter 24, 15, where the Antichrist demands worship. And in fact, we know that that period of time, people are going to have a choice to make. They're going to either get something on their hand or their forehead. And if they don't, now think about this, if they don't, mothers with babies won't be able to buy milk. You won't be able to buy groceries. You won't be able to function in culture. You won't be able to buy anything. So if you make the choice, I'm not going to take this mark of the beast, you're going to be an outcast. And the preaching during this time is certainly going to be to refuse that mark and trust the king who's coming. It's going to be a tough decision. It's going to be a difficult period of time. And that abomination, when the Antichrist sets himself up as the one to be worshipped, Jesus said, ladies, if it's the Sabbath and you're pregnant, it's bad. It's going to be a difficult period of time, but you got to get out of Dodge. You got to get out of there. And we believe there's a place, some believe it's Petra. Wherever it is, God's going to protect his people. He'll be dealing with Israel during this period of time. Well, Jesus said, no one knows the hour, only the Father. Now, this is very helpful. No one knows. Even during this period of time where there's days that are, people are going to be so consumed with surviving during this period, they're not going to be, the majority of people are not going to be thinking about the Messiah coming. They're going to be thinking about living just on the earth. No one knows the time. However, we know what's going to happen during this time. Do you know Satan has access to heaven now? Do you know that the biggest ministry he has is accusing you and me? That's what he does. But in the tribulation, he's going to be kicked out. The best example we have of what his ministry might be like now is Job. He's up. Yeah, you know why Job? You know why Job loves you, God? I'll tell you why. Because everything's great. You stop blessing him, and I guarantee he'll curse you. And God, unbeknownst to Job, I think of Job a lot. Stuff was happening to him, and what did he say? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. I don't. Your children, your home, your health. These things were hitting him like crazy. And it was all because, unbeknownst to him, who the reader knows, there's a personal dialogue going between God's greatest creation, the chief angel, who's Satan now, and God. And he's saying, okay, don't kill him. God is saying to Satan, the only restriction, don't kill him. Look at what he did. That's what Satan is doing now. He's an accuser. But he's going to be kicked out of heaven. And he's going to be stuck here on the earth. He's ultimately going to inherit the body of the Antichrist. Now, some believe the Antichrist really dies and resurrects. Some believe it looks like that. Again, if you ask me, I've read people, talked to people who know. I mean, they're Bible believers, and they know. One way or the other. No, he doesn't resurrect. He looks like it. And yes, he does resurrect. Either way, people are going to believe it. And the Antichrist is going to be worshipped during this period of time. So, the next 3.5 years are intense, very intense, against the Jewish people. You not only have God's wrath, think about this. God's chosen people have God's wrath, those seven seals. Seventh seal is the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet is the seven vials, all poured out on the planet, billions of people dying. God's wrath poured out, but now Satan's wrath is going to be, he's going to unleash all his fury upon the Jewish people in an attempt to annihilate them. It's been attempted many, many times. And unfortunately, millions and millions of people are dead. Do you know in the last 800 years, more than half of the Jewish people born were murdered? Think about that. In the last 800 years, God's chosen people, those who were born, half of them have been murdered. But it's going to be worse than that during this period, because Satan is going to attempt to wipe them completely out. The two witnesses, they're going to be killed. They're going to celebrate. You know, it's going to be like Christmas when they're dead. 3 days they're going to lie there. And people are going to give gifts and rejoice. Finally, these people who are preaching righteousness, we're done with them. And guess what happens? The rapture. Do you know they stand up? I think it's going to be on cable TV. That's my opinion. Everybody's going to see them, and then, whoosh, they're gone. What kind of thing will that be? I think it'd be crazy. So they're dead. They ascend into heaven, and now more judgments come. The false prophet arises, and he leads the world in worship of the Antichrist, and we have to bow down. People will bow down to him. There'll be an image set up that will look like it's alive. I have not been to Disney World. Years ago, I was in Disneyland, and they only had Lincoln. I know if you've been to Disney World, you've seen all the presidents, but I only saw Lincoln. And I remember that was like almost 40 years ago when I was there. It looked like Lincoln was alive. Now they have holograms. In fact, in the Reagan Library, I just read over the weekend, last weekend, that when you go to the Reagan Library in California, there is a hologram of Ronald Reagan. That if you ever saw Star Wars, that thing that comes out of the little robot. They have that now. It's real. And so who knows what it's going to be exactly like, but they're going to demand worship. So it's the second part that the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And when you go to Israel, you stand over that valley, the breadbasket of Israel. It's been the center of wars, the Jezreel Valley, it's called. And wars have happened all over the place. It says blood will be as high as a bridle of a horse. What's that mean? Is there literally going to be blood that high? Maybe. I'm more prone to think that the ground, which you can see when you're standing on Megiddo, Mount Megiddo, and looking over, that it's going to be saturated with blood. Saturated with blood. What a horrible, horrible thing. And when it looks like everything is over, man's going to wipe himself off the map. Matthew 24 says there's a sign, it's dark. All of a sudden it lights up. And what a day that's going to be. Well, let's hurry it up. Okay, you have those notes. Let's see. I already talked about the bowls. Okay, this will be the end of Daniel chapter 9, which talks about the ending of transgressions. God is going to fulfill his plan and program for Israel. They're going to look at him whom they pierced, mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. As the people are ready to kill themselves in destruction, Jesus Christ comes. And who's coming with him? The bride. You. Say, well, I don't know how to ride a horse. Don't worry. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. Look. That's going to be the time that God fulfills his promise. In fact, for those of you familiar with the seven feasts of Israel, the last feast, Tabernacles, the one of consummation in the cycle of yearly feasts, when he returns, we're with him. And his feet will touch down in the Mount of Olives. Remember where he left? He left from the Mount of Olives. He went up, and the angel said, oh, don't look up. He's going to return exactly the way he left. His feet will touch down in the Mount of Olives. We're with him. He's going to set up his kingdom. That's what we're going to talk about next. And what a day that will be. So what's the purpose of the tribulation? The purpose of the tribulation is for God to bring about the promises that he gave. Is there bad stuff? Awful stuff. Terrible stuff. Is blessing going to follow? Remember the Ellis Island. The island of hope. and the island of tears ultimately leads to blessing. And that's what we'll talk about next hour. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you for those sticking it out with me today. And we're grateful for the program you give. We're not excited about judgment. No one likes judgment. But Lord, we need the truth. We're told in a movie that you can't handle the truth. Well, Lord, some of us can't. Help us to meditate on your word and help us to see how much you care, how just you are, how righteous you are, that you're a promise-keeping God, and as a result, you're a loving God as well. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.